Hello and welcome to the 50th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. Hope everybody out there is doing all right. Right at the top of the show, I want to say a couple things that are kind of exciting. As you may have noticed, this is the 50th episode of the podcast, which is pretty great. Since I missed two episodes in the past year, this actually brings us right up to the one-year anniversary of the Pop Papa Napcast, which I didn't even realize. I thought it was further in March, but the first episode went up on, I believe, February 25th of last year, and I've been going pretty strong ever since, so that's kind of exciting. As I tend to do with these anniversaries, I don't realize they're here until they're already gone. So that was kind of a neat thing that I kind of realized in retrospect. I don't really know if I'll be able to keep the streak going once Little Dude comes along, but that actually ties back into kind of what turned out to be a theme for this episode. Sometimes I go into an episode with like a list of ideas that I want to talk about, and sometimes I just kind of wing it based on whatever I feel that day, and this episode is actually a combination of the two, but almost everything I'm going to talk about revolves around the delightful topic of anxiety. When I was going through what went on over the weekend and a few other things, there were some things that, you know, we went and did, but weren't really interesting, but I realized after listing a lot of these things that I am feeling more anxious on a regular basis now than I have in quite a while. And there's a lot of reasons for that. There were a few work things that I could have handled better and then also got delayed. So like that combination of, you know, it's partially my fault, partially their fault, always makes me feel really uncomfortable. There's a few things happening with my job that like keep coming up really quickly and they need to be done fairly quickly, which isn't how it was before so much. And that makes me uncomfortable just because I really don't have a huge amount of flexibility in doing certain parts of my job. I can do a lot of it all the time without much problem. But when there's like a hard deadline and it's very soon, that can be very tricky for me. And especially if any of this revolves around a phone interview, which has been popping up a little bit more frequently. There's nothing really causing that or anything like that. It's just been happening more. And of course, that makes me think about how will this whole work thing work out once Little Dude is born. And there's even more anxiety there because so much of my job requires, you know, at least a little bit of concentration so I can string a few sentences together and get into the interview part, or at least come up with interesting interview questions. And that can be very difficult if you're working with, you know, a little amount of sleep from having a newborn to just not getting much peace and quiet. I mean, I have a vague memory of how Lucy was when she was young, but, you know, this guy can be different. And like I said, it's a vague memory, so it's not really solid. I can't like really remember what it was like when I got back to work after my wife went back to her job. So there's a lot of kind of unknowns that are making me tense. You know, I've said it before, there's not much you can do about any of that, so there's not much point in worrying about it too much. But I would also say that it's nearly impossible to completely block all of those things out of your mind when you are a work-from-home parent. And then the kind of partner worry to that worry is that I am not being as good of a stay-at-home dad as I could be because I am also worrying about work. Now, I don't bring a ton of money in for the house, but I do bring something in, and I know it helps and all that. And I don't know if I would want to be completely without a job and just solely focused on the kids, but honestly, some days that just doesn't sound too bad. And a big part of this, I talked to my wife a little bit, and she pointed out that, you know, we are in the middle of one of the longest, hardest, coldest winters we've ever been in. And that can definitely lead to some not super positive feelings, you know. And then on the fringes, you've got me wanting to get into a house and there not being any available right now. Just all these little things are piling up, and they're making me pretty anxious at the moment. So I'm trying to kind of figure them all out and deal with them as best I can. When it comes to work, you know, there's only so much you can do. Hopefully I'll learn from the mistakes I made and then move on and do better next time. Nothing huge happened. And it wound up being fine because the thing that I wrote went up today and it worked and all that. But I could have explained myself better and laid out the time frame a little bit better and all these things. So, and I've got this thing when it comes to work-based worries where I fear that I'm going to get fired as soon as anything goes wrong, or as soon as I think anything is going to go wrong. Part of this came from working at Wizard, which became very much an environment of fear of getting fired, not just for doing a bad job, but for, you know, not, well, for any number of reasons. We don't really need to go into them. But there was a long period there for a while where people were getting fired on a very regular basis, and sometimes it was supposedly merit-based, and other times it was just a layoff, and that's what eventually happened to me. But it can be tough when that's kind of what you're used to. And I've talked to a lot of my friends who also used to work at Wizard, and some of them have the same kind of thing as I do, where if there's like a little problem, you're just like, oh gosh, I'm screwed. I'm going to get let go and there's nothing I can do. I'm going to have to start looking for another job. And then you might mention that to a boss or whatever, and they're like, no, it's fine. You screwed up. It's not a big deal. We're all in this together. Funny thing is, more people just got laid off at Wizard for layoffs, you know, supposedly them needing to downsize or whatever really was, than getting fired like outright for performance. But it still kind of works its way into your head that way. Like any little excuse, you're going to be the next to go. This was compounded by one of my first early freelance gigs that I got. I was actually going to start a pop culture geek snarky website thing that is going on now. I won't say what it is, but I was the guy that actually started the first week of that site, and things seemed to be going all right. I went down to the city. I met with the guy who kind of like ran the company. The plan was basically to stockpile stories, and so I did. And things seemed to be going okay. Into the weekend on the Friday, like communication really seemed to break down. And then that whole weekend, I worried that I was about to get fired. And then I was right. And I did get let go for no real reason. Just like, oh, we're going to go a different direction. Bye. And there was no like, hey, this is what's happening and all this stuff. So that's, you know, that's my work stuff. So there's like minor work things of like, I need to get this done in a short period of time. I got to rush, get it done. And then there's the bigger thing of like, I can't get this stupid thought out of my head of like, if I screw up, I'm going to get fired immediately. And even I'm not even screwing up that big, but it's just one of these things that happens. And so I think that kind of branches out into all forms of anxiety in my life, which used to mostly be crowd-based. Like when I was in high school, I would get really nervous if I was in a crowd of people that I didn't know, especially if it was like, quote unquote, their place and not mine. If I was like a visitor, when I was visiting colleges with my parents in like junior year of high school, we went down to visit, I think, Miami of Ohio. And for whatever reason, I got super anxious in the middle of their cafeteria. We were walking through with like a tour group and my parents were like, oh, this is cool. And like, I got way nervous about being like I'm invading their spot. I don't want to get in the way, like all this stuff. I don't know where all this comes from. But it was there for sure. And, you know, I think that's kind of morphed into this other thing that I deal with now. And plus, you've got the anxiety of just being a parent, which I know, you know, they say points at you being a good parent because you're worried about the bad things that might happen to your kid or revolve around them. But it's also kind of exhausting, man. Like, being worried all the time sucks. And that can go anything from like, oh, man, please don't spill on your princess dress because you're going to stain it and we can't really clean it that easily, and then you're going to get mad because you can't wear it again, just to like saying, no, you can't eat any more citrus because your butt's going to catch on fire, and then the yelling that comes from that. So that's one of the reasons that I'm talking about it so much in this episode is because, one, I'm hoping that like getting it out there might help. I got past some of the work-related things that I needed to do and actually feel good about that. That's the immediate anxiety that's kind of over. The kid-based stuff is less so right now because she finally took a nap after fighting all day. And then just all the other stuff, just kind of in the middle, trying to deal with it. But also, I kind of want to put it out there, you know, into the world to let other people know, like, yeah, this happens. It's totally normal to be anxious about being a parent. And then all the other stuff you do in addition to being a parent. I'm sure that a lot of people get huge amounts of anxiety about their kids. I mean, you don't want to do something that screws them up to the point where, you know, they become like a murderer. Because every murderer has parents, or had parents at one point, I guess. So I know it sounds silly and I'm not really concerned about that, but there's just kind of a lot that goes into the parenting thing that can be tricky. As I mentioned, Lucy's napping. She went down about 4 o'clock on Monday as I'm recording this. Things have been a little weird around here lately because she is sick. I was sick last week or the week before or something like that. And she's sick now. And I don't know if she got what I have / had, because I'm still congested. I'm sure you can tell. My friend Randy, I was talking to him on text or something, and he said that I sounded like Fergie mixed with Jesus, which I don't really know what that means, but it's probably the best compliment I've ever gotten about the podcast. So thank you for that, Randy, if you are listening to this episode as well. I hope I'm still there. So she's not feeling well. She's got a runny nose, and I know it must be kind of bad because she's actually showing signs of being sick. So she's a little bit more cuddly. She's a little bit more demanding, which is surprising. And she is more snotty by a mile than normal, like literally snotty. And usually she can like run right through a cold and it won't affect her, but this one is kind of kicking her butt a little bit. So I think she's kind of on her way out of it, but we will see. I'm also, again, worried, I guess it really is the theme of the show, if not my life, that I'm going to get re-sick if it is a different thing. Because she did go to music class on Saturday, and if it is another thing, then I'm going to get sick, which would stink. We actually had a weekend of a lot of potential for me getting sick again. On Saturday, like I said, Em and Lucy went to music class. I actually got up and went over to the coffee shop, and I was going to do a bunch of writing for myself and editing, but instead I had to do work, which I hate doing on the weekend, but it was necessary. And it doesn't happen a ton, so, you know. But I got that done, and then I didn't have enough time to do my stuff. But when we got back, we had some lunch, and then we headed over to the library because Em came home from work early on Friday, and we were out and about a little bit. And we told Lucy we could go to the library, but she fell asleep on the car. And as we got into the house, and I was carrying her up the stairs, she woke up. And this has happened a couple of times. And she's like, no, I want to go to the library. And we're like, well, no, we're home now. You fell asleep. You should just keep sleeping, which she doesn't do. And then she gets upset and cries. And I feel bad, and I bummed out because technically I was the one holding her when she woke up. So it's probably my fault and all this stuff. And, you know, it's just one of those things that happened. But to make it up to her, we did go on Saturday, and I had to pay off my fine because I had a pretty hefty fine. Don't tell anybody. It was like $4. I had a bunch of books that were late, and I turned them in the other day, and then I was able to pay for it and get new ones. So I didn't feel great about that. But, you know, it happens. And like I said in last week's episode, a couple more bucks their way. So she hung out there a little bit. I don't think there were any other kids, but she kind of ran around and checked out books. And then after that, we went to this nature museum place in Cornwall. And there was like a animal class that was about to take place. And so we went in and we saw something called a blue-tongued skink, I think. And it's like this super gross, like peach-colored lizard with a blue tongue. And I did not like that. I don't like being in the room with nature. I think nature is pretty gross sometimes. Like, it can go out and do its thing outside, but I don't really like being near it all the time. So it's great for me to be in a animal museum place because they also have live animals in the other room. But they were just running around, and, you know, that was fine. There were some, like, really unruly kids in there, and their parents weren't doing anything about it. And that just reminded me that I'm going to have to deal with, like, other people's kids a heck of a lot more than I do now because I don't deal with them hardly at all, which means I'm also going to have to deal with all spectrums of parents, you know, people that are even more helicoptery than we are, people that are way more lax than we are, people that have completely different views on everything than we are. And that's just going to be part of, you know, her growing up and having friends and being in school and all that kind of stuff. But she got a real kick out of seeing this, like, fat bunny they have in a cage, and there's, like, a annoying crow that sounds really weird. I think probably from having kids yell at it all day, because they say it can say hello, but I've been there a few times, I've never heard it say hello. And so we walked around and stuff, and Emma actually got information because that building is connected to another building in town, and they actually have a preschool, and we want her to go to this school because it's, like, science-based, and it's really cool and nature-y, and they're outside, and they're learning stuff. And plus, at the three-year-old age, you know, she's going to be out of the house for 2 days a week. It's just going to be a couple hours, but we really like this curriculum and the idea of it. And so my wife looked into it. Luckily, they had another spot open, and we got it. I think we just need to fill out the application, and so hopefully all that stuff will be done actually by the time this episode goes up on Wednesday, which is awesome. It's one of those things that, you know, I've made this comparison before, and it doesn't really make any sense unless I really explain it, but when it comes to child stuff, she's the DJ and I'm the rapper. She's the one that's, like, making sure all the big things make sense, you know, that the song in the background is doing well, and I'm the one that's making sure it makes sense and works on a daily basis. It's, like, a terrible analogy. I know I brought it up before, but it's a Fresh Prince song from back in the day that I just remember the title of. I don't even know if I know the song, but it's one of those things. We're a really good team because she can handle one set of things really well, and I can handle the other set of things really well, and we talk about things, and we work them out, and then we implement them, and it works great. But if it was up to me, there's no way I would have even thought of looking at preschools or anything like that, and I probably wouldn't have even known that this one existed. So kudos to her for figuring out, calling, getting connected, filling out the application, and doing all that stuff, because now Lucy is pretty much, hopefully by the time you hear this, definitely set to be in this program, which is great because then it also will open the way for Little Dude to go there as well if we, you know, want to continue in that system, because they take, you know, previous year's students first and then siblings of previous students, and then it kind of opens up to everybody else. So we got one of those everybody else spots, but, you know, next year she will have an in because she's already been there, and then he'll have an in when he comes along because he is her little brother. So that's pretty cool, and it is exciting, and it does actually alleviate some of the fears that I mentioned before about having time to do everything and working out schedules and all that, just because I will have more time to sit and hopefully do interviews or write or just whatever. I mean, even if it's just taking a little bit more time to work on my own writing or just to spend some one-on-one time with little baby, that'll be good because that is not something that will necessarily happen every day if it's just the three of us, because I can't really split up unless they take opposite naps, and if they take opposite naps, then that's going to run me into a different problem that I don't want to think about. But it's awesome that the school thing's happening. But to go to this school, she's got to be potty trained, which is not something that is coming along very well, or at all, really. Now, she's not sitting on the potty with Em's Kindle like she was doing forever, which is good, because I already talked about why that gave me a conniption. Oh my gosh, this should just be called, like, the worry cast, shouldn't it? But anyway, she sat on it a couple times. She said, like, hey, I need to go potty, I've got to go poopy, and then you get her there and you realize that she already went, but she still wants to flush the toilet, and, you know, that's not the point. So it's just one of these things that I really don't know what the catalyst is going to be. We've tried, you know, telling her, hey, if you do this, you can have this, and that has not worked. You know, candy or books or surprises or stickers or any of these things. The chart that we made that she can have a sticker if she uses the potty, goes to sleep on her own in her own bed, or stays in her own bed all night, has been up for about 2 months, and she has 2 stickers. You know, once she gets 5, she gets a bigger sticker, and if she gets 4 big stickers, then she gets some bigger surprise. But, I mean, the bribery path is not working, unfortunately, which I'm really surprised by. But my wife did tell her, and you know, I've been talking about it today, too, that, you know, you got to be potty trained to go to school, otherwise you can't go. And she seems to really like the idea of school, so maybe that'll be the thing. But she's pretty tough to manipulate, which is probably good in the long run, but bad for potty training. Because I would love to get down to just having to deal with one set of diapers. Actually, speaking of diapers, I've talked a lot on here about how we use reusable diapers that go through the wash and the whole system and everything, and I've done posts on the blog and all that. Well, now that we're almost 2 years plus into this whole thing, I will say that there is definitely a psychological negative to using reusable diapers, in that if your kid is staying in them longer and not potty training, dealing with that much poop from a bigger kid is not fun. I will say that wholeheartedly. I don't feel bad about saying it. And I wish most days that I could just wrap those diapers up, throw them away, and wipe up everything that's going on. But the extra step of, like, taking it in the bathroom and turning the hose sprayer thingy on and spraying it into the toilet and then flushing it and then putting the wet diaper in the diaper bag and all this stuff is getting to be a bit much. So I will say that that is a definite negative. I'm not saying I wish we had never done cloth diapers or anything, but this is just something to think about if you are thinking about going that route. I also want to say that we have a mixture of diaper types. We have Velcro ones, we have snap ones, and then we have a flip, which is like an insert that has a Velcro outer part. And something else that we've learned after doing this for so long is that the snap ones actually wind up lasting a heck of a lot longer and working a heck of a lot better as your kid gets bigger. When we first started out with these, I actually liked the Velcro better because I thought you could get like a more variable size with them because you didn't have to go exactly to where the snaps were. But the problem with them is that over time, the Velcro, you know, loosens up. My wife has looked up a few remedies where she would like pick out the lint that's in there or, you know, kind of revitalize them a little bit, and that worked all right. And then it stopped working. And of course, the problem with this is that if your diaper is not sticking around your child, then you're going to have a heck of a lot more messes on your hands. If you think dealing with a poop in a diaper is bad, try dealing with a poop that's everywhere. That's way worse. So she actually found a place where you can buy snaps. So she's going to go in, take out the Velcro, and put the snaps in, which is a crazy and fantastic thing that she uncovered. And I'm very excited about this, and I'll help her if I can. I've never sewn, but maybe I can help with like taking the Velcro off or something. But, you know, just again, something else to think about if you are going to get into this is that the Velcro certainly does not last nearly as long. The snaps do last longer, and especially if you're planning on using the diapers for more than one kid like we are, that is something that you really need to think about. And, you know, plus you don't really know how long potty training is going to take. They say a lot of it is just when the kid is ready, and so since Lucy's not ready, who knows how long this is going to be in play. So for us, the snaps are going to wind up making a lot more sense in the long run. So just, you know, take that into consideration for what it's worth. As I mentioned before, when I was thinking about all of the different things that have gone on lately this week, one of the big ones, especially parent-related, that's a little bit more outside, you know, my personal self, is a podcast I just discovered called Totally Mommy. This is hosted by a woman named Elizabeth Laime, L-A-I-M-E. And she actually has three different podcasts. The first one and longest running is called Totally Laime, spelled like her last name, and then Totally Married, which she does with her husband, and now she has Totally Mommy. And I think there's about 8 or 9 episodes at this point. It might be different by the time this goes up, actually. But you can search for it on iTunes, and I believe they have a website called totallylaime.com where you can go and check everything out. But the basis of her show is that, you know, she's pregnant right now, very close to her due date, I think just a couple weeks from now. And so she's talking about what she's experiencing now, and then she also always has a co-host. So far, it's all been women who are mothers on the show, and so she's kind of asking them questions about their experiences, and then they both will answer audience questions. And, you know, this isn't really the show for everybody. It's not super formal. It can get a little vulgar if you're not into that kind of thing. But what I do really like about it is that it's people talking about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood very openly and honestly. And a lot of times, you know, things get way sugar-coated. And in other times, people are like way too sarcastic. And I know I can come off as both of those extremes. But you know, what I hope for is just kind of a middle lane of honesty where you say, you know, yes, my kid will kiss me on the cheek and it will be the greatest thing in the whole world. And then 10 minutes later, she's going to be screaming at me because she wants, you know, strawberries and I don't have them in the house. But, you know, that's what parenthood is. And so I like this show. I like her a lot. I also find it interesting that she's doing a lot of the things that we did and have done and are doing. For instance, she is using a midwife, but they're not doing a home birth because there's like a birth center that's connected to a hospital, which is actually what I think we probably would have done with Lucy had that option been available. But it's not around here. I guess they're not super happy about home births and midwives in our area, but there's still a good number of midwives to make sure everybody's okay if they want to go that route. And so it's cool to kind of hear that and to hear the honesty and the people talking, and then people with older kids being on and talking about how great it can be once they kind of get past certain stages. So, you know, it offers a really nice, well-rounded view of parenthood. My only complaint is that they're constantly framing things from a parenthood standpoint through the lens of being a mom, which is fine. I mean, like I said, they've all been moms. But one of the things that kind of bugs me as a stay-at-home dad is that, you know, I, and I'm sure a lot of men like me, experience many of the same things that are considered, like, mom-centric. You know, that feeling of, like, I love my kids so much, but I just need a break and some time away from them. You know, that's a mom thing and that's a dad thing. That's just a parent thing. You know, we're in a different age now where the detached dad is hopefully less in vogue and more involved. And I think when you have more involved parents, they wind up on similar planes of like wanting to be around their kids, but also still wanting their own lives. And that is represented on her show, which I really enjoy. Like I said, it's called Totally Mommy. You can find it on iTunes or on their website, Totally Lame. And I will have a link to it on the show notes for this episode of the Pop Papa Napcast, which again is 50. I think it's kind of cool that we made it this far. Again, the year anniversary. Oh, and speaking of podcasts, on last week's episode, I mentioned that I was on an episode of my friend Matt and Brett Love Comics, where we actually talked about comic-related toys and action figures. That went up. I will have a link this time. It was a ton of fun. You know, if you want to hear me really geek out about 90s action figures, as well as stuff that's come out more recently, head on over there and listen to that. And like I said, I still have some plans for another podcast, but again, it's kind of slowly in the works. I'm not sure what's going on with it just yet, and it might not be the best time to start one, considering we are going to have another addition to the family in a couple of months, but hopefully I will have news on that in the relative future. But anyway, I think But with that, I think it's about time to wrap up. I'm actually feeling less anxious now that I've said a bunch of stuff. And I get to start making dinner soon, which I enjoy, so that'll be fun. And like I also said, the kid is asleep. All of those things combined for a happy daddy. And so I'm going to sign off. I am TJ Deitch, the host of the Pop Papa Napcast. You can find show notes for this episode on poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. I also have a pop culture blog called United Monkey. That's monkee.com. I've already got a book review that I just finished that's actually parent-related, so you can check that out. And I dug up some pretty cool G.I. Joe commercials for Toy Commercial Tuesday for both this week and next week. Of course, you're listening to this on Wednesday, which means that's already happened. And hopefully by today on the site, I will have a trade review of something I've read recently. I have a whole stack of them I can choose to write up. And then I have Monkeying Around the Kitchen. .com, no spaces in that one. I did not post last week. I am hoping to post again this week. And I think that's about it. Oh, also, keep an eye out on poppapa.com because I am finally ready to post a big list I did that I've been thinking about for a long time that's called something like the 10 big questions from the Toy Story movies. Now, I did a post like this a little while ago with Doc McStuffins where I talk about like the mythos and how does that actually work. That one doesn't make a lot of sense. I think Toy Story makes a lot more sense, but there are definitely some questions that I've had because I've seen that trilogy about a million times, thanks to Lucy. And just kind of watching it, there's like some things that kind of stick out the more and more you look at it. So it's kind of, it's all in good fun. I don't really care. You know, I'm not super invested in this, but these things did pop up in my head and I am interested in them. So if you do see that and you have some answers or some potential theories, please leave a comment in that section. If you have any comments or questions about this episode or any previous ones, you can head to that episode's show notes and pop it down right there in the comment section. And I think that wraps us up here. So have a good one.